Greetings in Christ's name this morning. Again, it's been a privilege, been a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. Thankful for your presence and trust that we can continue to worship God as we look into His Word. Seems like our number is a little smaller this morning. Different ones gone, but trust we can still be encouraged and blessed together. All right, 3 weeks ago, I believe it was, the last time I spoke, we, of course, are sharing on the Christian home and spoke on the role of a father and husband, and we didn't get through with that, and I knew we wouldn't. Plan to share two messages on this. So this morning we want to continue thinking about this. And I would just say here that this is not just for fathers and husbands. I would like to, I'm thinking of you young men sitting up here on these front benches. Things for you to think about as well as you think about the life ahead of you as the Lord tarries. A lot of these things, these responsibilities, certainly are things that we need to think about before we get to the time of being a husband or father. So I encourage you to think about that and learn from Scripture as well. So I want to just briefly go over what we looked at already. Can someone tell me, I think I mentioned the last time, that if you forget everything else I said, remember this. Can someone tell me what that was? I'm pretty sure I said that. Well, okay. All right. Well, does us well to, I guess that's a good reminder why we need to keep talking about these things and remind us of what God says. All right, my main focus in this is that man in a special way is created in the image of God. Created in the image and glory of God. And because of that, man has the responsibility to reflect the character of God himself. Again, all these other things that we'll point out, I hope are beneficial, are good. But let's remember that man has the responsibility to reflect the character of God. And as we do that, well, that'll take care of all life's problems. Take care of our problems anyway. So I mentioned that we wanted to look at three what I believe are primary responsibilities of a husband and father. And we looked at one of those, the responsibility to love as God loves. We looked at some scripture and pointed out how God loves. God loved us and chose us first. He loves us sacrificially. He loves us unconditionally. And we, as husbands and fathers, must do likewise. That is the way, that is the way God is asking us to love. He's asking us to love our wife, our family, our children. We must take the initiative to respond to situations in love. It is our responsibility. Love produces action. It is far more than just words. Yes, words are very important, but our love must be demonstrated. Demonstrate your love. Love constantly. God's love does not change with circumstances. His love does not fluctuate or weaken. Those are some things that we talked about. God expects nothing less than that in our love. All right, moving on. The second responsibility that I want to think about is to lead. And again, I want to, first of all, look at an example from God. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, verse 13, has these words. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Right? Turn over to Psalm 23, verse 3. Psalm 23. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let's turn yet to John chapter 10, New Testament. John chapter 10. And verse 3, I'd like to just read the last, well, I'll read the whole verse. John chapter 10, verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. The part that I want here, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. What a blessing that God also guides us. One very obvious aspect of his leadership, we would say, is his authority. He gives the orders and we do the following. That is the only way that we can experience his direction. It is as we follow. If God does not have any authority, if God does not have any authority in our lives, well, he couldn't lead us. Think of it this way. In the physical body, my head controls the other members. My head controls the members of my body, the instructions and orders that flow to my whole body through the nervous system originate in the head. As my head governs my physical body, so Christ governs the spiritual body. So Christ governs the church. I'm going to read just a few other verses. I'm going to do it quickly. And some of these are just parts of verses. You don't need to turn to them. 1 Corinthians 11:13, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 has these words, which is the head, even Christ. Ephesians 5, verse 23, Christ is the head of the church. Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. This morning it's very clear from Scripture that the husband should be the head of the wife in the same way that Christ is the head of the church. Ephesians 5, verse 23, read just part of the verse there, but it's very clear. It says something about, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. 1 Corinthians 11:3. Again, I just said part of that, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And then it goes on to say, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, before going any further, I believe it's, I want to point out this, that I believe it is extremely important that we understand that in God's sight, men and women have equal value. Galatians 3, verse 28 says, there is neither male nor female. We know that verse. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. But God, God has given different roles in the family. Why? One, because he created us differently. We understand that. We know that. Two, because of the creation order. And three, because of the order of the transgression. That is why God has given different roles in the family. 1 Timothy, maybe we'll just turn to this. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 12 through 14. Verse 12, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Verse 13, for Adam was formed, then Eve. And then verse 14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. All right, we have this order very clearly stated here as to reasons or the whys of this. I believe that we can safely conclude that God chose the man as the means through which he leads families. Now, what are some specific areas that God wants the husband to lead the family? What are some specific areas? Well, I believe there are many. One area that I thought of is the husband must lead out in directing decisions. We do share a number of things here, but the first one that came to my mind is the husband must lead out in directing decisions. It seems to me that there are far too many lazy husbands in this area of decision making. I could be wrong, but that's how it seems to me. A lazy husband makes few decisions in a marriage or in the family. He does not want to decide if the son needs discipline. He doesn't want to decide if a daughter should spend the evening with her friends. He does not decide if the family should, you name it, get a computer. He does not decide if the child should go to the doctor, if the family should have family devotions. He does not want to decide if it's okay to buy something on payments. He simply would prefer if his wife would take charge. Husbands, don't be like that. You are the head. You are the head of your home. You are the head of your wife and family. You need to make decisions for their good. God designed you with the capacity to do that, with the capacity to give direction to your family. God did not design the wife to do that. I think it's fair to say that. God did not give the wife the capacity to do that. Do not put that responsibility on your wife. Blessed is the woman whose husband directs the family. Now, having said all that, we as husbands need to be very careful in the exercise of leadership. Very careful. There are some mistakes that can so easily be made in this. In the first place, do not close your mind to the advice of your wife. That is a serious mistake. Even though the final decision rests with you, you would be very foolish to make the decisions only according to how you feel. I believe we could all, I can anyway, think of examples where I've tended to do that, and the outcome was not so great. But God has given you your wife to help you. He has designed her especially. I believe we can say it this way, that he has designed her especially to be your advisor, if you please. Do not bypass her. Another thing we need to remember is that our wives are not the only ones under authority. We too are under authority, and that is Christ's authority that we saw there in 1 Corinthians 11. We must always keep the fact in mind when we think of Christ's authority when we think of our authority that we have over our family, over our wife and children. We as husbands must lead responsibly. There are some husbands and fathers who do not want to accept responsibility for wrong decisions. I've seen that, and you probably have as well. That might be the reason some men don't want to make the decisions in the first place. They don't want to accept the responsibility or the fact of them possibly making a wrong decision. There are many husbands who find it easy to blame their wives or their children when their decisions prove disastrous. That, again, is a mistake. A husband who does not accept responsibility for his decisions is really, I'm not sure what else to say besides immature and a cowardly person. It is only the strong who can finally admit that, you know what, I made a bad decision. It's my fault. That rests with me. Husbands, God gives us authority in our marriage and in our home, but he also gives us responsibility. We as husbands must lead with goals. It's another way to lead, with goals. You know, many go through life, many go through marriage and family life without goals. They live haphazardly and expect everything to turn out all right. Let me pose a few questions. What sort of environment do you want in your home? What qualities do you want to develop in your family? How do you want your family to serve God in the church? Maybe a little bit practically or more down to earth yet. What books do you want your family to read? What kind of adults do you want your children to be when they grow up? Husbands, it must be that we set targets to shoot for. We as husbands must do that. We must have goals. And we do this together with particularly our wife. Another way to lead and direct is by helping. We as husbands must direct by helping. We make decisions. We just said about setting goals. Our families need us as husbands to exercise ourselves in these areas, but they need something else as well. They need our help. They need our help. When you have made a decision, the time comes when you need to help them carry out that decision. Especially children at a young age, we can make a decision, but we need to help out. We need to take the responsibility to lead out in carrying out that decision. After you have made goals for your family, you need to help them achieve those goals. It's kind of like shooting an arrow, whether the target is close or far away. If you don't point the arrow toward the target, the arrow will never get there. Point your family in the direction of the goals you have outlined for them. Point them in that direction. We as husbands must also direct by example. Matthew 16, verse 24 says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Another verse in 1 Peter 2, verse 21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." We can follow God confidently because he goes before us, showing us the way. He's not standing off somewhere angrily shouting out instructions or motioning to us where we should go. But he shows us how we should do what he wants us to do. We are called to reflect that aspect of godly character in our family. It's not enough for me to just simply give orders, but direct by your life. If you don't want your wife to gossip, well, don't be a busybody. If you want her to keep the house orderly, keep your things in order. If you want her to read the Bible or be more patient or overcome greed or keep herself morally pure, show her by your example how to do these things. Do not demand from others what you yourself are not willing to do. Something very good to go by. Well, moving on, the third responsibility I want us to think about of a husband and father is to provide. So we talked about loving as God loved, and leading as God leads. And now the third one is to provide. First of all, God's example of providing. Let's turn to Psalm 37. Psalm chapter 37. Verse 25. "I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Matthew chapter 7. And I was trying to pick out some Old Testament scriptures and New Testament. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" God has worked to provide everything that we need. He puts the atmosphere around the planet Earth so that we have air to breathe. Knowing that we need water for many things, he created the oceans, the seas, the rivers, and the lakes. He made plants and animals for us to eat. What am I bringing out here? God worked to provide for us. We must also work to provide for ourselves. Work is good. God worked and commanded every man. God commanded man to occupy himself in this as well. We have numerous scriptures that would bring this out. Exodus chapter 20, verse 9. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." 1 Thessalonians 4:11, "And that you study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you." Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, the first part. "Whatsoever the hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." God expects husbands to provide for the physical needs of the family. Now, does that mean that we should provide the newest and the best and the biggest or the nicest? No, of course not. Possibly that desire is within us to give our families something outstanding, but that may not be possible. But what a satisfaction, though, is to be able to give what they need. The husband must give. He has the responsibility to give what they need. If he fails in this area, I believe that it brings a reproach on God and therefore on himself. We have that thought in, if I have the right verse reference written down here, First Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. It's serious. We are called to provide. Another area of providing, or an area here that we are called to provide in, is we as husbands are called to provide emotionally. Let's turn to Psalm, we don't need to turn there. I know it, we know it by heart. Psalm 23, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Also, in the same chapter there, in Psalm 23, verses 3 and 4, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And then verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." In other words, I will not lack anything. When life becomes difficult, I do not need to wonder where my shepherd is. We know that. We know that he's right here beside us, beside me. When I'm afraid or discouraged, he is there to take away my fear and encourage me. My shepherd, God, doesn't laugh at me. He doesn't get angry with me, nor does he embarrass me. Think about that, reflecting the character of God. On the contrary, he will do everything possible to provide what my soul needs. Just a tremendous example to follow. God and his goodness, faithfulness, provides for all of our emotional well-being, emotional needs. Bring it now to us as husbands. Does your wife enjoy this kind of provision from you? Think about that. Maybe you should ask her this evening. Reflect God's character in her. When she's not feeling very upbeat, be at her side to support and encourage her. When fear paralyzes her, be there to give her encouragement and to understand. During those times, our wife should not hear, "Well, don't be so childish. You get worked up over the smallest things. I can't understand why you're so worried about that. Just quit thinking about it now and go to sleep." Is that at all what we think sometimes? Are you ever tempted to respond in that way? Many women can be physically strong, and their husbands think that everything is going well, but inside they are dying of emotional hunger and thirst. And I challenge us to that. To provide those things. Think about the following things that your wife needs. I jotted down a few. And some of this probably reflects some of my own struggles. But I think of communication. We know that. We hear that again and again. We need to communicate. Yes, I'll say it again. We need to communicate. Before marriage, just about every young man has plenty to talk about with his girlfriend. We've probably experienced that. You remember how that was? How long were those phone calls? I think some of mine were close to 3 hours. Just about anything could spark a good conversation. However, I don't know why. I don't know why it is this way, but so often it seems like shortly following the wedding, that, I don't know, that foundation or that fountain of communication starts to dry up. He doesn't have much to say to her and is disgusted at having to listen to his wife. The temptation may be there to give the silent treatment. Husbands, that's a serious mistake. Talk to your wife. Ask her about the day. When you get home, ask her about what she did today, how the children behaved, who came to maybe visit her, what problems she had, and how you can help her solve them. God acts that way with his people. And you know what? We're called to act that way as well. Psalm 145, verse 19b, the second part there says, He also will hear their cry and will save them. He also will hear their cry and save them. If you think your wife seems discouraged, show an interest in the details of her discouragement. I believe that a husband who provides well for his wife will have big ears. I believe it is also important that we as husbands share our experiences of the day with our wife. Tell her about your ideas, your projects. Ask her for advice for the problems that maybe you face. Not only does your wife need your communication, she also needs your attention. Why do I say that? I mentioned about the need to listen to what your wife has to say. That job belongs to your ears. What I'm referring to now is your responsibility to discern and pay attention to the feeling behind those words, what you're hearing. Pay attention. You may be hearing with your ears, but are you really hearing? This job belongs to your heart and soul. Interest yourself in what interests her. Learn to feel with her the things that she feels. There will be times when your wife needs to talk to you so badly that she will talk to you when you're reading, maybe studying your Bible, or doing something else that requires a lot of concentration. Let's not get disgusted or reprove her. Resist the temptation to keep doing what you're doing while she is talking to you. Remember, husbands, you can go to God anytime that you need to. Psalm 61, verse 2 says, From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Let's give that same privilege to our wife. Another thing that your wife needs in providing for her emotionally is approval. Approval. God is a God who knows how to praise his people. And we can learn from that. He expresses his satisfaction for his children. We have examples of that. Psalm 149, verse 4 says, For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Husbands, how faithful are you to communicate to your wife the good things you see in her? I'm afraid far too often many of us are deficient in this area. Pay attention to what you like about your wife and let her know. Tell her. She needs to know that you are pleased with her. Her soul is hungry for your acceptance and praise. I believe that we should never, never criticize our wife without first having sincerely and with all our heart praise her. And let's not just praise her when we're getting ready to criticize her. If we start doing that, she will start cringing when we praise her for fear of what's coming next. But praise her. Another important thing that I believe our wife needs is understanding. I mentioned just a little bit of this already in the thing of hearing, not only hearing, but understanding, paying attention to. But a big part of providing for the emotional needs of your wife is to feel with her and try to understand her as God does for us. again, just a couple of verses that I put down here. Psalm 91:15 says, I will be with him in trouble. Hebrews 4, verse 15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Again, just many examples. Husbands, you are, again, the image and glory of God. Reflect that. Reflect the character of God. Sympathize with her. Do not be intolerant or emotionally cold towards her. If God is with me in my difficult times, our families should know that we will be with them in similar times. Try hard to enter into the pain and the things that are there. God does that for you. Maybe your wife does have emotions and reactions that you cannot understand. But does she know and can she feel that you are interested in her reactions and feelings? And you'll try hard to understand her. If you really want to, I believe that you will be able to understand your wife, at least most of the time. You and she are both humans. The experiences of our lives are similar. Really, we do not have any excuse to not try to understand. Remember your fears, your dreams, and the things that you have been through. Then treat her as you would have wished to be treated when you were in similar circumstances. The last thing I want to look at quickly yet is, we as husbands are to provide spiritually. And I suppose that most of us think of this first when we think about God's provision for us, and that is understandable since he has done so much for us to have access to every spiritual resource that we need. God has many spiritual provisions for us, and we could turn to numerous scriptures. Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And there are others. 2 Peter 1, verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. What more do we need? Nothing. God has made sure that we have access to everything that we need spiritually. There is no doubt that God has heaped upon us every spiritual blessing. But what about your wife and family? Yes, it is true that they have received the same spiritual blessings that we have. But what spiritual provision are they receiving from you? You are the provider. Your wife needs you to protect her spirit. She is your responsibility. Your family is your responsibility. I know there's been quite a bit of focus on the responsibility to our wife, and that's fine and good. And so many of these apply to really our family as well. But your wife needs you to protect her spirit. She is your responsibility. She needs you to pray for her, and she needs to hear you doing that. You know, or at least you should know, her spiritual weaknesses and problems. Pray for her specifically about those areas. Pray daily for her and her responsibilities of motherhood. You know, she needs a lot of wisdom, firmness, patience, and love to care for and discipline the children. Your wife also needs the reinforcement she gets when you pray with her. I just mentioned that already. I believe it does her a lot of good when she hears you pray out loud for her needs. If your wife fails spiritually, it just may be that you have failed to provide what she needs. Make sure that your wife is receiving the spiritual food she needs. Encourage her to study the Bible. Read the Bible together. Make sure she has time to do these things. Spiritually protect your wife. If you are faithful in prayer and in providing spiritual food, in a sense, you are. In a big sense, you are protecting her. Well, a lot more could be said. May we as husbands take our responsibility seriously. May we, with the help of God, reflect the character of God Himself in our lives and actions. And again, quite a bit of this has been, you know, the husband's role, but it applies very much to the role of the father as well. We are to love. Can our families tell them, or can our families tell that we care about them and love them? Can they tell? Father or families need a father who is willing to lead. Do our families see that? A lot of the points that we talked about in leading our wife, again, applies to leading our families. And then fathers must provide. Are we doing that? Let's be sensitive to our family's needs. May we rise anew to the challenge. Again, these things are not, we've probably heard these things before. They're not necessarily new, but I need reminded. I need to be reminded of the seriousness of this, of the seriousness of the responsibility that God has laid upon me. And may we rise anew to the challenge, the responsibilities that God has given to us as husbands and fathers. And I know that this morning our focus was on fathers, and someone told me here recently that it seems like so often we're really hard on the fathers and then not very hard on the mothers. But I think maybe there's a reason for that. The reason I feel that way is because finally so much responsibility rests upon the husband and father. And I feel like, and we'll talk about this more, but I feel like where there's a husband and a father that is leading out and reflecting the character of God, that so many of the other issues, so many of the other problems, so many of the other, you know, the struggles that maybe our wives face, they're not there. They're simply not there as real if the husband and father is reflecting the character of God. But our next messages, well, I'm not sure if it'll be one or two, will be directed to the wife and mother, so I guess you could say your turn's coming. Anyway, let's kneel together.